Australian rules football is the greatest game on earth, but it's not to say it couldn't be better. If only there were two people completely unqualified to talk about it, yet utterly prepared to do so. Two people like that might have some radical ideas. Two people like that might just be the Footy Fixers.
Hello, I am Charlie Clawson. He is Scott Dooley, and we are here to fix football whether you like it or not. And thank you to everyone for your feedback on this show. A lot of great opinions, a lot of big ideas, Scott, for what the future of the AFL could be. Today, though, I thought we would bring up a very topical issue, something that especially in the age of Corona has become a big talking point, which is where to play the grand final. Now, obviously, it's been impossible to play at the MCG the last two grand finals in a row, and people have started to get a bit interested. Maybe we can share the grand final around. What's your hot take on this?
Well, listen, my take is, as you know, I'm a football traditionalist. I'm a grumpy old man, and I think it should only be at the MCG. The game should start at 2:30 at the very latest.
Oh, right.
And Port Adelaide should not be allowed to wear prison bars. These are my thoughts.
So you are a footy traditionalist because this year on Two Guys, One Cup, we did a lot of player profiles. And one of the questions that they put to the players is, do you prefer daytime, nighttime or twilight grand final? And we always found it was a really good barometer to see, like, you know, whether this was a millennial player, whether this is someone who's at the tail end of millennial, because the younger you got, the more inclined they were to be twilight or nighttime grand final.
Right. Well, one thing I did find is that, like, this is kind of why I think we love footy, is it's the biggest sport in probably the most sports mad country in the world. It's worth $1 billion. And one of the genuine arguments people had to take seriously was, yeah, but like, are the boys going to be able to go out after they win the flag? Like, that was a genuine concern that maybe they wouldn't be able to get out and really, really tear it a new one because, you know, you've got a club function and by the time you hit the time, like, you're looking at like 2-3 o'clock in the morning. It's just not fair to the players.
Yeah, I mean, that's seriously where your sports conditioning needs to come into play, right? Like, that's where your sports scientists, it's like, look, normally it's about recovery. It's about protecting the hamstrings, soft tissue. How can we get the boys pissed and stay pissed for the next week if we finished around 11 p.m. at night?
Yeah, exactly right. Well, I mean, if they're up by enough at three-quarter time, maybe we could start sneaking some bourbon, but that's dangerous.
Yeah, apparently Stephen Dank was just driving to every servo around Windy Hill and just getting those pre-drinking hangover aversion tablets, you know, those ones that you see at truck stops.
Yeah. Well, would it surprise you if it found out he was injecting them with 3-hour energy? Like, would that surprise you?
Monster energy drink. So, yeah.
Zaharakis hated the grape flavor. That's why he didn't take the jabs.
Well, look, when it comes to the grand final, I thought I was a traditionalist. Look, here's my take on the grand final is that I used to love grand final week in Melbourne. Like, I think there is no better time, regardless if your team is playing or not. Being in Melbourne for that week is so much fun because everyone becomes a footy fan. Every place you go has like team colours up. It's every radio show, every TV show has something. Like, you've got, you know, genuine news anchors who are football fans, but then you've got that one or two who, like, they don't really care about football and, you know, they're forced to wear a scarf and they're like, and go the Adelaide Crows, you know?
Yeah. And it's always, they always do a weird like tie. If it's interstate, there's a weird tie in, like, at the Crows last training is the cash cow. What can you tell us now? I've got no clue what they're doing there.
So I used to love that week in Melbourne. I used to sort of, you know, when I lived in Melbourne, it was great. I would often make trips down for that week when I was living in Sydney. But what I noticed over the last couple of years was I kind of liked seeing how Queensland and Western Australia did the grand final. And look, Scott, I don't want to sort of cast aspersions on, any state in Australia. But I feel like Western Australia maybe have a bit of a chip on their shoulder about the rest of the country, especially when it comes to AFL. Maybe we don't recognise their players as being like as good as the Eastern State players. So when it was over there, well, the Dreamtime match at over in Perth was incredible. And I'm like, okay,
that was
well,
sick. Yeah.
This is genuine footy fans. And it is that kind of, you know, that cliche of, you know, if Carlton and Collingwood played on Christmas Day in the middle of Australia, you'd still get like 100,000 people. And I was like, well, maybe 20 years ago. I don't know the Carlton and Collingwood of today have that drawing power.
No.
But I reckon Western Australians genuinely would pack it out no matter what. So then I started thinking, well, MCC contract aside, what could we implement to make it be like a rotating thing? So maybe it's like every second year or every third year or, you know, every fifth year we tour it around the country. What do you think about that?
Well, the issue that I have with that is that to see Collingwood play Carlton in a, and I understand this is science fiction, but we deal in nothing but hypotheticals. So it's the hypothetical is that Collingwood's playing Carlton in a grand final.
Yeah. On Christmas Day.
That's on Christmas Day. On Christmas Day, as is the Palaszczuk government's wish.
Yeah.
And it's being played at the Gabba in front of 45,000 people instead of at the G. I can see that being an issue. However, so yeah, that's probably my big concern. But I not to say there's not a workaround.
Well, we know what I would love is let's take a community cup approach to the grand final, like, or a preseason competition approach to the grand final, right, which is like we're going to nominate, like, or you, if you're a local club, you can nominate your ground. So the East Brighton Vampires can put Hurlingham Park up for grabs for the grand final. So just throw your hat in the ring and we make it like a lottery. And then if they win the nomination, maybe we give them like a 2 years out. So for the grand final in 2023, all the local clubs can nominate. And then if you get your name drawn out of the hat, you go into a hat with like the MCG and Optus Stadium and the Gabba and all these other grounds. But we allow the locals to kind of like get into it just to sort of promote local footy. But then they've got 2 years to get Hurlingham Park into shape for the grand final. And what I love about that is when I used to play footy at the East Brighton Vampires, there was one pocket that was probably on a 45-degree angle sloping downwards towards the boundary line. So if there was any rain, there was like knee-deep water. And I love the idea of the premier footballs in the country. Like, you know, you're getting sort of Pickett, you know, in the forward pocket, like but knee-deep and waist-deep in water trying to kick it from the boundary line.
I do like that. There is a few concerns is, you know, what if Eddie Betts drowns? You know, like this is, you know, is this a, like, is there, there's a public liability. Again, not that it couldn't be worked out. I feel it may be a rod for the back of a local club to raise, like, conservatively $300 million in 2 years.
To upgrade their facilities.
And have construction, so it is grand final ready. I'm not saying it's impossible, but and the flip side of that is it's creating jobs.
Yeah. I love the idea, though, of that first, like, you know, the director's meeting at the local footy club where they're like, okay, so as it stands, the kiosk, we can serve about 300 pies in an afternoon. Great. We need to increase that to conservative 95,000 pies. Can we shift 95,000 pies in an afternoon?
And then someone at the meeting goes, well, depends where the netball girls are playing that week, but if they're around, we could probably get a few more behind the counter.
But don't you think it'd be amazing to have the grand final on a suburban oval surrounded by cars that could honk their horns after each goal?
See, now I am buying everything you're selling right there. Don't get me wrong. I'm not poo-pooing this. I'm just trying to make it so that, and we should point out, and this is something that people have been tweeting. No, Charlie and I have not spoken to Gillon McLachlan about this particular issue. So I just want that on the record. I don't want this to be seen that we are kind of forcing the AFL's hand one way or another. One thing that I think would kind of give it, again, a slight wrinkle is, do you remember in the 90s, they'd have like bush doofs and warehouse parties and you knew it was on and you knew there was, you know, certain, you know, DJs performing or whatever, but you wouldn't know where it was until that evening. And you had to call or text a number at about 10 o'clock at night. And then you had to make your way out to some paddock, which was about 2 hours away from whatever CBD you were near. Is this an option for the grand final?
I love
where
it.
Where we don't know where it's being played at all until, say, let's say it's a twilight, so we'll say it's a 4:30 start.
Yeah.
You have to text a number that says, at midday, I would like to go to the football, and then you receive a text message back that says, "Okay, you need to make your way to Mildura because the grand final is being played at the Sunraiser Football Ground."
What I love
starts
about
at 4:30. Get a wriggle on,
Scott. Is that the biggest complaint most people have about the grand final? Is it's the corporate football event? It's where the real footy fans don't get a ticket, but this is like separating the wheat from the chaff.
Democratizing.
Yeah, get the genuine footy fans, because I can't see some kind of VIP from Coca-Cola going, you know what, I'm going to text this number at 12 p.m. and pack up my car and go to Mildura. But some hardcore footy, if the Saints were playing in a grand final anywhere in Australia, yeah, I would be texting
You'd
that number.
There.
And so that way you get the real footy fans there. The atmosphere, because think about it, even if say, at capacity of 30,000 at this local ground, even if you only got 15,000, you're getting 15,000 of the most hardcore, diehard footy fans. I mean, they have done everything they can to get there. They're going to go nuts.
Coupled with people that were just walking past and heard some noise.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's going to be a genuine mix of kind of local busybodies and people with face tattoos of like Peter Dacos' number. So one of the issues, though, that I am finding with this is... Mm. You can't subject the players and the clubs to this because
you know
it's still going to be televised. Well, I'm just wondering, how do you hide, you know, 40 of the most prominent athletes in the country?
They've got to call the number
in
at 12
Mildura.
As well. No, they don't know.
Also, Jack Riewoldt is also.
Yes.
Hey, where am I playing? And
yes.
Then he has to look up Mildura weather. What kind of boots do I take?
100%.
So everyone's in the same boat.
Look, two big complaints about the grand final. One is the corporatization. The other one is home ground advantage. Like, I don't want to keep harping on about Western Australians, Scott, but they're always complaining that, like, the grand final MCG gives teams like Richmond an undue advantage. They play 10 games of the year. Their Collingwood play a bunch of games at the MCG as well. It's an undue advantage. Mm. But imagine this. Like, it is the Southport Sharks. Like, they're playing the grand final in Queensland, the Southport Sharks. And no one knows until 12 p.m., the day of the grand final. You've got 4 hours to book flights. You've got 4 hours to get all your players and support staff up there. And here's the thing, Scott. If it's like, if you miss out, like the schoolies have booked the flights or whatever, bad luck. You've just got to turn up. Whatever players make it to the grand final, they're the ones who take it to the field.
Like that.
Yeah.
Would we have a special grand final dispensation for lists where you can play technically unregistered players in the event that, Jack doesn't kind of, Jack tries to book on points and it's too late or something. So the Richmond full forward is this guy. Who's this guy? He just lives around the corner. He had his boots with him.
Okay, so we need to approach it from 100%. But what we need to do is we need to expand playing lists. So at the moment, you get what? Like 3 rookies and 2 Category B rookies or something on top of your primary list.
And the rookies are now the oldest players on every list.
Exactly. All mature age. But what this does, so we expand it. So let's say, 6 dates. So, because you could also play. I mean, this answers the Tasmanian issue as well. We can really find out how good the depth of talent is in Tasmania. If you can rookie list 5 to 10 players in each state to be on call in the event that your team makes the grand final, in the event that the grand final is played in your home state, in the event that you don't get your entire list there, you can then call on your backup, your supplementary list. So those guys have got to train all year round just at their local footy team or whatever, but they've got to be on call. Because what I love about that is Melbourne next year, Melbourne, the powerhouse team, are taking on like the underdogs, like maybe like a Frio or a St Kilda make it. And so Melbourne are the raging favourites. But guess what? Petrarca didn't make the flight. And so now Melbourne have got to get someone off their supplementary list. And all of a sudden the Saints have an advantage in the midfield.
And it adds an interesting aspect to the broadcast, because I'd imagine that any registered player can come and replace what we'd call the non-registered, the supplementary players.
Yeah.
So that they're there, so that, Petrarca's here. Hey, Frank, can you get off, mate? Pass and give Christian your jersey on the way past or whatever it might. I don't understand what the logistics are. So he can just come in. So then we can have cameras tracking Christian as he, it's almost like an Amazing Race situation where Perfect. He has to decide, do I get a train? You know, we've got a friend who's, you know, got a helicopter.
So we do away with having to submit team lists before the game. That's out the window. It doesn't matter. Swap and change at any point. If Christian Petracca, it takes him 6 hours to get there and he turns up for the last quarter, he can still get on. So I love that. And then, I mean, this is a money-making scheme because you're right. It's a reality show. So we just have cameras following both teams in the week leading up. And imagine the tension of the grand final parade with all the players like knowing in 24 hours they're going to find out where they're playing and whether or not they can actually get a flight or a Greyhound bus to get to the ground. That's a spicy meatball.
It is. And you'd have to have certain, the AFL would have to obviously step in. And so would the Australian Aviation Commission, I imagine, to make sure that that teams don't have private jets waiting. That it is a genuine, you know, Virgin. You know what I mean?
Like, you can't book ahead of time.
I don't want to see it. No. You can't just have a plane fueled up. Hey, boys, we're heading to Morty Alec or wherever it might be. I don't think you need a plane to get there if you're a Melbourne club. But you know what I mean? I think that you do have to have a completely level playing field.
Yeah, it becomes almost like wacky races, doesn't it? Like, I'll give you an example. Like, Gemma, my wife, her 40th, we had a party up in Byron Bay. And the day that of the party, we had a bunch of friends coming up from Melbourne and Sydney, but these massive storms hit both Victoria and New South Wales, and all of a sudden a bunch of flights were cancelled. And so we were getting these frantic texts from my friends who were like running from airport check-in to airport check-in, trying to find an airline that could fly them. They couldn't fly in a major airline, so they were saying, could they get on a regional flight and then maybe land here and take a bus there? I had two friends who kind of booked a hire car and drove for like 9 hours to get to the party.
Oh, wow.
Imagine that, but it's like Melbourne Football Club or the Collingwood Football Club.
Yeah. I do like, so would we allow then,
all right.
I don't want to kind of make this too convoluted,
but
throughout the season, could we have again, I think this lends itself to a television show, or at least an online series, perhaps for AFL.com.au or Fox Footy or whatever, where players, learn and subsequently build a vehicle in the eventuality they play in the grand final. And you can only get there either via a flight or public transport, public in inverted commas, or by a contraption made by your own hand.
Yeah, like Mad Max Fury Road.
Correct. Exactly what I was thinking. Exactly what I was thinking. Especially with the red dust of Mildura kind of got me thinking. But so now you have these, we'll call them death races.
Yes, death races. Brilliant. Death races.
Trying to make their way to the ground.
I love that. And I love that, like, you know, we should have, let's go full Fury Road. And each club has, like, they can appoint, like, instead of, like, the Doof Warrior, the guy playing the flaming guitar, it's your mascot strapped to, like, a giant kind of flatbed truck by all the speakers playing the club song, like a rock and roll version of your club song. I love it as you race across the Nullarbor.
I think that would be, what a way to get you. You know, instead of watching, you know, the under-18s TAC Cup final, you're watching that. Like,
yeah, on the just way an armada of wacky vehicles coming across the desert. All of a sudden, what a... I mean, the thing is, if you think about Angry Anderson's Batmobile, I mean, he was ahead of his time. Like, you're essentially...
He really
that was.
That was
the entertainment at the grand final in 1990 or 91 or whenever it was. But we're taking that and we're expanding it.
Well, I'd like to see that as kind of, you know, to use a bit of a showbiz term, foreshadowing, that he was kind of sowing the seed and just kind of, you know, putting a kite in the air and seeing if people liked it, and they did. So this feels like the logical set. Now, we'd obviously have to talk to local authorities to turn a blind eye to road rules, because I imagine
it's
a bit kind of gumball races. You just put the foot down, boys.
Yeah, Yep. Speed limits out the window, dangerous driving. In fact, why don't we include some more dangerous elements? Like, we give the players, because they've got to, in case they win the grand final, they need to have like all their booze and stuff for celebrating afterwards. So they're loading up their wacky races vehicles with booze. And if they want to hoe in before, like, I mean, I reckon Melbourne would be feeling pretty confident heading to a grand final. Like, I reckon Maxi Gorn could probably sink a few tins on the way to the grand final.
Absolutely, yeah. You've not even, I mean, I'd surprise if they all even went. But so could we have a thing? I mean, wouldn't it be fun for the Oz Kicker of the Year to, hey, guess what? Congratulations, you're the Oz Kicker of the Year. You're driving to Mildura with Max Gorn tomorrow. Or you're driving somewhere with Max Gorn tomorrow.
Yeah.
Make sure he's hydrated, if you know what I mean. And then you've got a six-year-old in the car, and we can cross to the car because the cars could be decked out with communication devices, so we could cross. And we've got g'day Max, it's Dermot here, mate. Where are you? Oh, I got Derm. I don't know. I reckon we're about 6 hours out now, and you know, I've got Caleb here. Caleb, say g'day. And there's Caleb. How you going, Caleb? Is it fun driving? Oh, he's a fast driver, is it? You know, kind of get a bit of adventure.
Yeah. Well, we need more than one because they've got to bring the kids over who are going to present the medals at the end. So I think that just say there's kind of like, what, you know, 25, 30 players, 15 vehicles, one kid per vehicle. And we make them like the feral kid from Mad Max 2. They all get kind of like fur loincloths and steel boomerangs that they can just chuck out willy-nilly on the drive.
Yeah, I think so what about this though? Because, you know, we've always wanted to emulate our role models. What if the children during the season are also making non-motorized contraptions and each player has to tow a child?
Right.
And you're not allowed to play unless your child is still attached to your vehicle. You can't play.
Okay, so that way there's an investment in making sure that the child's vehicle is roadworthy, and
yes,
potentially,
that's right.
Like, it takes what, 2 days to drive from, you know, Victoria to WA. Potentially, you're going to need a vehicle that child's going to need to be able to sleep and eat in that vehicle because you're not stopping. Like, you don't have enough time.
No, I mean, you can't stop.
Hang on.
It's the grand final, man.
I mean, we sort of painted ourselves into a corner, though. We gave ourselves 4 hours to attend the grand final, and potentially it could take them 2 days.
That is a concern. But, well, I mean,
bad luck.
But this is in the eventuality they can't. Yeah, exactly. But don't forget, you've got your five local players, so you can have those five play each other. You know, maybe that's the grand final this year. It's five
what do you
on
mean?
Five.
Well, as in, well, whoever gets there.
Well, if both sides don't make it in time for the opening bounce, then your five supplementary list players from that state are going to have to fly the flag.
It becomes like AFL 9s. And then do you then change the rules, or do they have to play on a full-size football field?
No,
like just five aside?
Full-size football field.
Well, no, the game would really open up. I tell you what. I mean, we've actually solved two problems, Duels. I think this is fantastic. Let's throw this open to our listeners who've had their suggestions. Now, this is I never know whether to read the @ handle or the name that they've, you know, that they've written. What do you advise that I do here? Is it the @?
Depends.
Do I read @ so and so?
If it's you know, Glenn Phillips, but the @ is Squirt Cobain, always go with the funny one.
Okay. All right. @ Conan Accountant. Is that funny? I don't know.
That's funny. That works for me.
Says, it's a mute issue as the AFL's already signed away the rights until 2059. Okay, mate. Let's not have any fun on this podcast. That's what we want to do.
Yeah, because people are turning to this podcast for serious answers.
@ PaulTam14 says, rotate the hosting rights, but name it at the start of each season like the Champions League. If you're in a good season and you host that year by chance, then good luck to you, sir. So that takes away the home ground. Well, that negates in a way the home ground advantage.
But the issue with that kind of, I'm not a statistician, is you've got 10 teams that play in the one state.
Yeah, it's not really an advantage
at all. It's not really a level playing field.
Along the same lines, @ JSpeed says, NFL style, rotate it, name the location at the start of the season. If someone benefits, so be it. But it's the AFL now, not the VFL. Shouldn't be guaranteed to be Melbourne forever.
Yeah,
where do you think
@
JSpeed is based?
Yeah,
what state?
Yeah. God. Yeah, was your anchor tattoo throbbing when we read that out, pal?
At Impala says, I'm shamelessly Western Australian biased.
Oh, here we go.
However, limiting the final national competition to one ground only is weird. I know some folks have a reverence for the MCG, but there is nothing hallowed about it for me.
Should we just say now, just to go back to our thing, that Western Australia can never host the grand final?
well
just in terms of the tyranny of distance.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe they've just got to earn our trust back because they are playing hardball with this. Like if the last 18 months has taught us anything, it's like WA, they like to play hardball. They think that they can just throw up those borders and have hard and fast rules and that no one's gonna blink. Well, maybe we say, okay, not only are we not playing any kind of milestone games in your grounds, we're taking your teams. Welcome the Bayswater Dockers. You're now a Victorian club.
I reckon we should be even more insulting and call them like, hey, it's Collingwood 2. Or like, just really piss them off.
Well, we already have
it's
like
the Hawks. New Bombers.
Hawks and Swans. The West Coast Birds. The West Coast of Melbourne Birds.
just the Birds.
Some
Fremantle's are called the Purples. We don't even bother with the
We just call them the Anchor Boys. At Beaufort Bowes says the grand final must strictly be played in a ballroom. Well, that is that's some lateral thinking, because in a ballroom, undercover, you know, you're going to be protected from the weather. Capacities are limited. I don't know how many people you can squeeze into the crowd at a ballroom, but I do like the idea. I mean, if you are an inside midfield beast, as we know, we love a midfield beast, loves a contested work. Mate, you'll be able to find space in a ballroom.
It also plays into the big dance talk, which I think which I do like. Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
D Muzza 72, hearkening back to last week's episode, says two opposing captains have to compete in an it's a knockout style race, then the winner chooses the venue. Do we wrap that into trade radio?
I don't mind that as an idea.
So we do the it's a knockout trade radio, and then at the end, not only do they get their draft picks and trades, but they also get to nominate the venue for the MCG the following year. So Adrian Dodorio is going to have a bloody field day. I mean, he's always winning trades.
Yeah.
And then he's going to be able to pick the grand final venue. It's going to be Windy Hill every year.
Yeah, but Essendon won't be playing. So that's all well and good. but I kind of saw that idea as more at the culmination of the grand final parade rather than going up the Parliament House steps.
Right, okay.
You're straight onto the, you know, soapy rope or whatever it might be. And then at the end of it, you know, the captain that wins can get up and hey, you know, Joe, where do you reckon we'll play? And then he could just say anything. Like, we're going to be playing on.
I think maybe they climb the soapy rope to reach an envelope, and in the envelope is the nominated venue, which has been chosen by lottery.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's
maybe
a more elegant
solution. The prize for getting the envelope is that you just get to choose which direction you kick to. So it's like you can kick towards the chicken shop at the Heidelberg footy ground. Yeah.
the toss.
At Sam Kello 13 says, personally, I like the idea of 4 out of 5 years at the G, then for the fifth year, move it around to a new state each time. Okay, the first reasonable response we've had. I actually don't mind that. I mean, good luck trying to pry it away from the MCC, especially considering probably how much money they've lost in the last couple of years. But I think that's not a bad idea. Like, rotate it around, because that gives different states time to prepare, right, to get their grounds up to scratch.
Yeah, but again, it does kind of fall foul of the, you know, what if Adelaide plays Port in the grand final, it's at the MCG, and then the next year it's Sydney playing Collingwood at the you know, Adelaide Oval. It's going to be slightly frustrating.
Yeah. At Mitch G has taken a leaf out of our book. He says, take it to the community. like the preseason comp, $100,000 at Bayswater Oval 2 with no seating. I love that. We specify no standing room only.
So his thought is you don't change the grounds. See, I had a full upgrade. So you don't change it.
Yeah. No seating, but you can bring your own slabs to stand on so you can see the action on the field.
Yeah, I mean, we're not animals. It's the grand final. What I do kind of like the idea that there's a potential that the ground's double booked and the AFL grand final has to be pushed back because it's cricket trials.
Cricket season's almost started, mate. The Bayswater Cricket Club need to practice.
Oi, track, have a good game, and also stay off the square if you could, mate.
At Jay Banerjee says, 100% stick with the tradition of playing at the G, even though my team won it in 2020. It wasn't the same. Oh, yes. Joe Brady is a mad Richmond fan. The build-up and the buzz of the grand final week was noticeably lacking. How do you know? You weren't in Queensland at the time. It might have been amazing.
I don't think I've ever heard someone fact-check a contributor.
At Matt 514049, it could be a bot, says, it's the big dance, and like Scott Dools would say, there's only one place to dance, and that's at the MCG. Have you said, is that a saying of yours?
It's not. Just when I hear that handle, did that person then say to vote for Trump at the end of that message?
Yeah,
to cut
exactly.
It off before they got
scamdemic.
To Trump.
Hashtag scamdemic. At Mark UNC says, build a Thunderdome in the central desert of Australia. Grand final fans have to make the pilgrimage to the stadium to watch the event. Yes, that's what we're suggesting.
I mean,
I think that's too.
I'm
you get
not,
a text message
not
at
against
midday.
That.
A couple more to go. At I Am Brown Dog. I mean, that could literally be any AFL player with a surname Brown, couldn't it? Brown Dog?
It's Campbell Brown.
Yeah. It's contracted until 2050, so you need to come up with ways to make it fairer for interstate teams. What state do you reckon Brown Dog is living in, Scott?
I'll have a shot. Does it start with a W and end with Eastern Australia?
I think so. And lastly, the Dahl Knight says it would be great to have it at whoever came last's home field just to rub salt in the wound. You could have had it, but instead you shit. Love a bit of cruelty on grand final day.
That would be amazing. Just every grand final's played at Suncorp. What's it called? Metricon.
All right, look, I think we've solved that issue. The Footy Fixers have delivered another fantastic solution to one of footy's hot-button issues. Thank you for your correspondence. If you want to get in touch with us, you can at 2guys1cupAFL on Twitter and Instagram. We put out our topics each week. You just need to answer in the comments below. But for now, I'm Charlie Clawson.
I'm Scott Dooley. See you later. Is that one closer? That felt closer, that one.
That felt closer.
We'll be right back.